Welcome to episode two. Today, I'm really excited to be talking to a good friend of mine, Lisa Corduff, and she is a Whole Foods enthusiast and just a really down-to-earth, rad chick. We're going to get into her mind and, you know, she's one of those open bookcases, which I just love about people. I love people who are open about their experiences and who know that through sharing their own ups and downs, they can help others. She actually contacted me and said, "Hey, I've got an hour free. Do you want to record your second podcast?" And I was like, "Okay, I haven't planned anything, but let's just get some beers and sit down and see what happens when I press record." And this is what happened.
Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Every week, join me and my rad guests for tips and tricks for your entrepreneurial journey, incredible stories, real conversations, and takeaways to implement into your life to create positive change. Ready for a rad and real life and biz? Let's get our freak on.
How am I going to start this? I haven't even had a chance to think about it. Let me just have another sip. And all right. So, do you want to maybe just start by telling me where this all began?
Where it all began? Well, when I was at school, I was really into school. Like, I loved school. I ended up being school captain. I was public speaking captain from year 8 to year 11, and then, you know, then the ultimate school captain. I was in front of people all the time. I was kind of nobody's enemy. I liked being around people and I liked talking. And then I went on to study and I just thought I was ticking all the boxes. Like I did I first of all started arts and then I thought, no, I should do something that's going to get me a job. So I did arts commerce and I majored in international relations and human resource management. Then I did honours in international relations and then I got first class result and then uni offered me a scholarship to do my PhD. Like, what? You're going to pay me to study? Like, it doesn't get cooler than that, right? I thought I can just continue this student lifestyle. I think I was about 23. I'd done a year of travel overseas and all that in between. And anyway, it ended up being shithouse money and I was not very good at long-term deadlines. Like 3 years for a project saw me do absolutely nothing in the first 6 months. And I was just tortured by what to do. And I decided, like, I can remember the moment so clearly when I actually did defer/quit the PhD. It was a really, really amazing moment. And I thought, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get a job. So I went to get a job and no one would hire me because everyone was like, well, you're kind of a bit too qualified to be an admin assistant. But I didn't have any experience, even although I'd worked since I was 14, I didn't have any experience to be able to get the jobs I really wanted. And I didn't really want to move to Canberra. And you know, to work for DFAT or anything. So I was just like, what the hell? Like the education system didn't set me up to get a job. And I felt really ripped off by that because I knew I had something to offer and I couldn't find a job. I worked in a factory for a few months and then I got work for an events company. And this was all down in Melbourne because I'm from Melbourne. And it was a lot with spring racing and fashion parades. So there I was, like this PhD student, strapping up bloody fake boobs into dresses and just thinking, how did this happen? The woman who I worked for destroyed me. She, through no fault of her own, I can see that now. She was just a really strong personality and I didn't know what the hell I was doing and basically didn't do much. And I just believed at the end of that year of working for her that I couldn't work, that I wasn't a worker. I was a good studier, but obviously the workforce wasn't meant for me. So my confidence was just going downhill big time. And also just my belief in myself. I left school kind of thinking I could do stuff. And anyway, then I decided a friend was doing this is taking a very long time, sorry. A friend was doing community news on Channel 31 in Melbourne. And I was like, I've always thought about journalism. I always like telling stories. Maybe I could go and see what she does. Anyway, she put me in front of the camera. I read the auto cue for her news story. She sent it off to the producer of the news. And he called me the next day and was like, yeah, you've got a spot on the news, you can do choose a day a week you'd like to come and do it. And I was like, what? And I said, well, it's hard because I'm working in events to have a day a week. And he said, no problem. I'm actually looking for someone for a role. If you're looking for new work, come and work at my production company. It's probably not your thing. It was at the front desk. I learnt, what's that accounting software package?
MYOB?
Yes, MYOB.
Life skill, Lisa.
I am so glad I had that experience. I ended up being there for about, I don't know, it was like maybe two or three years. And I had a mentor. He ended up being amazing. He was like editor of the 7:30 report and all sorts of things. And he was an awesome guy who just really let me go. He just let me, if there was a project I wanted to do, he was like, if you can get the money together, go and do it. So I created a TV show. It was called Making the Switch, and it was a sustainability-like lifestyle program. And we did 26 half-hour episodes back-to-back of new content every week. It was mental, and it was the best and most amazing learning curve for me because I took something from nothing and created it, and then I learned how to do TV, and I presented it, and I learned how to be in front of a camera. We couldn't get it on air because no one thought anyone gave a shit. So it went on Channel 31. It went around Australia. I did get recognised a few times in random places.
Celebrity.
Yes. But, yeah, it didn't go anywhere. Anyway, then we moved to Sydney and I got married and I worked for a not-for-profit. That didn't work all that well. And then I started freelancing. So I went and worked back for the production company, but from Sydney, and I was by myself in my home. I had no friends in Sydney. It was a pretty dark time, but I learned how to be on my own. And I think that was actually really good preparation for motherhood because I knew what silence was. I knew that I needed to get out of the house every day. I knew there were certain things that.
Yeah. On that, you know, I've worked for myself for over a decade, and that was my thing too, was like if I hadn't had that, if that hadn't prepared me for motherhood, I'd be in all kinds of fucking trouble now.
I don't know how people go from being connected, interacting with people to just a silent, dead house.
Yeah.
You know, the baby doesn't talk back, the baby's crying. It's so isolating anyway.
Yeah.
But I'd kind of become okay with it. It did take a while. And anyway, I worked on quite a few projects. I started to get exposed a lot to sustainability more on a behaviour change level and worked on a few projects. And I started to understand behaviour change, like what it takes to kind of make big changes. It fascinated me. Anyway, then I had a kid and when he was born, I was like, what the hell are we eating? How do I know what to feed him? I don't even know what healthy is. And I studied at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which I just got massively confused by because it's like it tells you about 100 different diets. And I was like, good, can someone just tell me what the fuck to eat? And they couldn't. I had to work it out for myself. So hence that was the whole thing. I thought, okay, we'll just start trying to eat real food and then take it from there. And, you know, I had another baby. And we moved to Brisbane and I just started this little Facebook page and a blog and I just started writing and I thought then I did B school, which is how I met you.
Yep.
And a lot of amazing people. And I pretty much got stuck in comparisonitis land for about a year and a half. And I just kept thinking there was nothing. I didn't know enough to be able to do anything.
And B school is full of people who have also studied at that, you know, well, IIN. Yeah. So you're full of, you know, you're surrounded by health coaches as well. So,
and I knew I wasn't going to be a health coach because I just didn't know enough. And I don't really, like, I'm not a detail person because I just figure that other people have to know that. My strength is in the communicating And I kept on sort of thinking, I don't know what to do, write an ebook, but I didn't have it. I just didn't know how to help people and how to, you know, have a business around what I knew. But I just kept going. I kept saying to my husband, there'll be a reason why I'm always on Facebook. You watch. There'll be a reason. We don't know it now, but I know something will happen, because he was always like, get that phone out of your hand. Stop taking pictures of our food. My third child was born, and about sort of 7 or 8 weeks later, a friend, we were having a glass of wine, and she's like, just launch a challenge. Just do a challenge, a free challenge. Just see how it goes. I was like, yeah, that is a great idea, drinking back the wine. Then she's like, announce it to your Facebook group. And I went, oh, no, like, I'll just see how I feel in the morning. And she said, no, you will announce it right now and you'll do it. I did. And then that's how Small Steps to Whole Foods was born.
Yeah, and I think this was actually, that was around the time that we joined our mastermind.
Yes.
So you had gone from just having a blog and your Facebook page to then joining our mastermind and launching a free challenge at the same time. And that wasn't even a year ago.
No, that was October.
That's crazy. That just seems so crazy to me. September. I feel like I've known you for 10 million years. That's another thing altogether.
I know. It has happened very fast.
Yeah.
And it's just because I didn't want to do a shit job, even although it was free. There's just that person in me came out that, you know, I'm not just going to get a credit. I want a high distinction. And I ended up getting conjunctivitis near the end. So half of the interviews, I've just got this bung eye. I got really sick because it was too much to be doing with a tiny little baby. Mm. But I did it and I proved to myself, and all these people were loving it. And I thought, well, this is so easy because I love doing this.
Yeah.
This could actually be something. Because I didn't hear anyone else talking about small steps. I saw so many programs. It's like change your life in 12 weeks, or, you know, become free and amazing and lose weight. And, you know, I just kept thinking it doesn't happen like that. Well, it didn't happen for me. It took me a really long time to get to where I am. And I can only help people from a place of honesty. And that is, it took me a long time to create real change. But I knew the people who helped me do it. I approached them and they all wanted to help out, because, like, in the health world, everyone wants to talk about it. Everyone's happy to share their message because they're pretty passionate. I just thought, wow, this could become something. People are really resonating with the concept of taking small steps and doing things slowly and not feeling shit about themselves if they don't continue on and be perfect because they've signed up for a program. And I wanted people to not feel like that program was going to give them all the answers to, you know, their whole life dramas, because we're so much more complex than that.
Yeah. I feel like Small Steps is like a program that is completely your personality, because from what you've told me so far, that is who you are, you know, just show up, do the work, do it well to the best of your ability, and, you know, whatever happens is cool.
I guess that is true, and I think that that's something that I'm working out about myself, is that getting it done is important, making it perfect less than important.
Yeah.
And if people knew me, like, I'm sitting here in tracky pants.
Drinking a beer.
But my hair is done because I did an interview that was on video.
You
today.
Do look beautiful.
Oh, I'm totally glamorous, yeah. I don't get caught up with the negative. I really try and stay in that space of, you know, as long as I feel like I'm doing a good job, that's enough, because I just think the whole idea of perfection is just driving us all mental. Like, as mothers and as workers and as just people on this planet right now, we are exposed to so many different ways of doing things that we could feel shit about ourselves all the time. Because someone said to me once, someone will always be doing, like, say with money Someone will always have more money than you, and someone will always have less than you. Someone will always be thinner. Someone will always be bigger. Someone will have a more profitable business. Someone will not have a business. There's always people ahead of you and behind you. Like, and for me, that gives me perspective a lot of the time that, you know, it's not about conquering the world. It's just about doing the absolute best that I can with what I've got. And, yeah, I guess unknowingly that is absolutely small steps to Whole Foods. It's just saying, it's not saying be like me. It's just saying if you are a person who resonates with this, then I've probably got the ride for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's more than, you know, don't be like me or be like me. It's more, your message is more be like you, but here's some information so that you can be the best version of you.
Yes, because that's the thing with food is that no one diet fits everyone. There's foods that I can eat that make my tummy, you know, make me look like I'm 6 months pregnant. I mean, I usually do look like I'm 6 months pregnant.
Oh, bullshit.
But you know what I mean? Then that would not have any effect on you. Or, you know, some people do really, really well eating dairy. Other people, it just makes them tired. There are so many different ways to eat. And that's why I don't give menu plans. I provide people with a menu planner so they can create their perfect plan. But I don't know what they want to eat and what works for them. And it unfortunately and devastatingly, because I wanted the silver bullet, it is a journey that people have to go on by themselves. And if they really want change, they're just going to have to do the work.
Mm. I think like it's hard with, I just have noticed a few times in the last week or so, you know, people create work and then they put it out there expecting, having an expectation of the person who is taking part in their course or, you know, what coaching, whatever it is. And they take it personally that that person hasn't had this amount of success. You know, you can create the most amazing program that is foolproof, but at the end of the day, people's blocks aren't you know, you're not the block, they're the block. So they've got to do the work. And that's really hard sometimes, I think, to comprehend and to be okay with that you're going to create this. You know that it can make change, but at the end of the day, the responsibility falls with them to actually see the thing through.
Oh, I can't tell you how devastating it is when you're reaching near the end of a course and communication with your peeps just kind of slows down a bit.
Yeah.
They're tired of it. They haven't been able to keep up. They're distracted with life. Like, that is normal.
Yeah.
But you're this person going, but dudes, there's so much gold in this. You got to watch it. Oh, God, they're not going to get the most out of it. Oh, no, I'm a failure. I haven't created a perfect program. And I can definitely take that personally. So I asked the graduates of my program if there was anyone who wanted to write a testimonial or answer a few questions about their story, just for this, you know, fancy new website that I'm getting. And also just because I feel like it's enough for me to tell people what's in the program and what I think the program will do for them. I really wanted new participants to get a sense of what the participants who've gone before them have gotten out of it, so that they can maybe resonate with it and go, yeah, I've got that problem too. And wow, all right. I love stories. I love people's stories. I just think that's where all the learning comes from.
Totally.
So I have just like cried pretty much at every single one that's come back. These people who were just saying these amazing things about something that I put together. And I really just feel like the curator of the information. Like, I'm just pulling together experts and delivering them to people in a way that obviously they can resonate with, or that the information is digestible. And then they're actually bloody making their families healthier. What the, like, it's just like the best thing in the whole wide world. And I would never have had any idea that that was happening unless I'd asked.
That's the other thing, I think, particularly when you're creating a program for other people. And, you know, you're always creating business. You're always creating something for the other person, for your customer. You can make all the assumptions you want about how good or bad your product is. And, you know, a lot of people get to that stage where they've created something and it's just kind of not escalated them to Oprah status overnight. I actually suffer from this complex myself. And so then they drop it and they move on to the next thing without even bothering to ask anyone who was doing it if they were actually getting anything out of it, because people are, they won't give you feedback generally unless you ask for it. There's like maybe 2 in 100 people who will actually contact you and say, you know what, you're doing an amazing job. The rest of the people are there and they maybe think you're doing an amazing job, but perhaps they have a block about telling people that they're doing a really good job because when they were a kid, their dad didn't tell them, you know what I mean? Like, or, you know, tall poppy syndrome's really rife in Australia. So people don't like to tell other people when they think they're doing fucking awesomely because they don't want to leave them with a big head. And I think that's really unfortunate because I'm a big fan of telling people, hey, you know, what you're doing is incredible. Because I know that it could come at that day when you're about to pack it all in. Because as an entrepreneur, you have those days fairly regularly, more than most people.
Oh, yeah, totally. The feedback from people who you're working for matters so much. And I am so grateful that I have a really, really great interaction on my Facebook page. I know a lot of people struggle with Facebook, but I love Facebook because I feel like I'm just in conversation. I don't see them as customers. I don't at all. They just randomly became my customers. I had a lot of trouble with pricing because I just felt like I wanted everyone to have this information. Who am I to be charging for something? And why would they pay me? But in fact, that was all my issues. They were all chomping at the bit. They wanted to get a piece of what I had to say. That totally floored me because they're all, yes, we're interacting on Facebook, but I had no idea that they, I don't know, respect. I don't know if that's the right word because it feels more like a friendship.
Yeah. Marketing 101, the very first thing is, well, there's a couple of things. One is know your customer, and two is people buy from people they know and trust. It's why we stay with the same hairdresser for so long and sometimes feel tremendous guilt when we change hairdressers, you know, because we form relationships with these people and those relationships convert into dollars sometimes, hopefully, you know.
And I can remember listening to, was it Steve Jobs or someone, people buy from people.
Yeah.
I think that that is so true that I spent, you know, 2 years getting to know, finding my own voice, finding what my little part in this whole health area might be. And I think also being a Thermomix consultant, when I moved to Brisbane, I started selling Thermomixes because I wanted one. And I thought, well, surely, like, it's going to help me make some friends, and it has. It's brought amazing people into my
because
life.
It's a cult.
Just it's kidding. A cult. You're in, that's it. You're in for life. But no, I mean, really, it was such a good thing for me to do to get me out of the house and out and about with the little kids and not knowing anyone. And it was really good. But it also put me in front of my what were going to become my customers. Like, I was just in the houses of real people, you know. I'd open up the freezer and for the ice to make the sorbet, amazing sorbet, and I'd see things that I thought, wow, people buy that. I forgot that people bought fish fingers. I just never have. I don't have teenage kids or, you know, kids who are kind of, you know, would be really hard to change things. I kind of got them young. But there was a lot of crap in people's, like lean cuisines and stuff. I just thought, wow. So little did I know that I was gathering all this information that was going to stand me in good stead for small steps. And I think that's the thing about my life. I've always felt really shit about not having a proper career, that I just did random stuff. Like, I really did random stuff. When I was working at the production company, I started a short film competition. And, you know, I used to really like getting money for grants and sponsorship money. Like, I loved pitching projects out there to big corporates or government, but all of this stuff has kind of helped me be the person who I was. And that's, you know, one thing that I would definitely say to people who don't know what they're doing or what's coming or they want to change. It will all make sense in the end.
Yeah. I think actually it was Steve Jobs who said something along the lines of in one of those commencement speeches, but he says, you know, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You can't yes. connect dots looking forward. And that is so frustrating to someone so with little patience.
And anyone who's listening to this now is like, no, I don't want to be told that.
I know.
I wanted to be given a blueprint for how to go ahead because that was me for so long. Oh, my God, I just angsted.
But that's also the thing. That's like a huge block for most people is they don't see the blueprint, so they don't take the first step. But you've got to take the first step in order for the rest of the path to appear, right?
Yes. Yeah, totally, totally. There has to be a step. But, you know, it's funny because my husband is very artistic. He has this very artistic side of him and he's also an engineer. And he has just gotten a promotion at work that's kind of pushed him up a level. So he's kind of broken through a bit of a barrier for himself. But he's like, oh, my God, it's getting me, you know, deeper and deeper into the whole engineering side of things when really, you know, he kind of like to quit that and just paint or record his music or, you know, he studies philosophy and he's got a podcast series that's been like sitting there in his notebooks that he just wants to get up. But I just said that any change, any growth, any potential for growth, any time you're feeling stretched, it doesn't actually matter what it is. As long as that's happening, things are feeling uncomfortable, growth happens from there. And I think motherhood is a perfect example from that because I don't know anyone who goes into it being exactly the same person on the other side.
No.
But for me, I could not – this, none of this would have happened. None of small steps would have happened unless I had had a big wake-up call of stopping kind of – I wouldn't say I've never resented my kids. It's more like I kind of just sunk into it. I stopped going, oh, well, I can't do that because.
Yeah, so they kind of became an inconvenience.
It was an excuse. Like, and it just kept me stuck because I was like, well, I can't because, you know, I can't get anything done. Like, I'm just, you know, I've got the kids. And I just, I think it was when I just went, yeah, I've got the kids. Yeah, yes, I do. And my life is chaotic. And it's very, very hard to get more than a few hours, which usually happen at nighttime, to get anything done. So I've got to learn how to work in small bursts. Like I just accepted it instead of fighting it and using it as an excuse. And then suddenly, once I did that, everything flowed. Everything started to flow. My whole life, even the house felt different.
Yeah.
And I think it was after reading Louise Hay that I really started to feel peaceful with where I was at as a mother. And it changed and because I was just trying to be the Lisa who I was before. And you see it, so many mums, it's like, oh, I'm just so angry, I just don't get to go out. You battle that
yeah.
for the first year or two because
yeah.
life as you know it's gone and you as you knew it are gone. You are still you. But you've just got this whole other element to yourself. And I think it's actually exciting if we don't let it, you know, be the story that defines us.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we're still always more than mothers.
Question for you. If you had like a couple of defining moments in your career thus far, what do you think they would be?
Well, I definitely think taking that job at the production company and having an amazing mentor who actually believed in me, like he really genuinely thought I could do stuff, that changed my life.
Yeah. And so you went to that straight after you'd had a shitty boss?
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing how much difference someone just treating you with respect can make.
Someone here, he was just like, you've got something. Yep. Have a go. And, you know, I frequently felt like I let him down, but I wanted to do a good job for him. I wanted to soak it all in, and I did. And because he believed in me, I rose higher every single time. And I just, like, I literally just sent him the promo video, the new promo video for Small Steps. I was like, any cuts you want to make, boss? Just because I value his opinion. And it really did change me. So when right before we left for Sydney, actually, we were probably in Sydney, and I came back down to the Antenna Awards, which is the community TV, you know, Logies. And the show that I raised money for, produced, presented, wrote, won Program of the Year. It won Producer of the Year. It won like 4 awards. And that was my program that had come out of thin air because he let me, and he, you know, did a lot, and I had an awesome team, 2 crew and assistant producer. And I was just standing on that stage going, you should do anything. And then I proceeded to work from home and get a little bit depressed probably. But because I'd had that, I kind of just believed that – I just kept believing. So I guess the next defining moment would be I will absolutely never forget when I launched the first round, the first paid round of Small Steps to Whole Foods, and I let the people who'd done it for the 21-day challenge, the free challenge, I wrote to them and I said, you know, a lot of this, it's the same information, but you can do it again. I can't remember how much I charged them, if it was like $29 or something. The first 2 payments.
And I have to actually say, interrupt you there, because I remember when you were going through the painful process of putting any price.
Oh, Carly, killed me. Killed me.
So tough.
You guys were like, oh, Lisa, that is too cheap. And I was like, no, it's not. No one's going to buy it. Like, if I make it cheap, maybe they will.
And we were like, bullshit, 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 bullshit. And then how many people did you sign up to that first round?
550. What the fuck? But do you know what the defining moment was?
Not Hang that on. One.
By far, the best moment I've ever had with the whole thing was when I launched it and I went to bed, sent the email, went to bed. I woke up the next morning and 2 people, like, there was money in PayPal. 2 people had bought it. And I ran into the bed and I just started crying with Nick, like, oh, my God, like, it's happened. Somebody actually bought it. And it blew my freaking mind.
I remember, actually, during that launch, Yvonne, myself, Frankie and Mabel came up to visit you guys, and you were staying at, yes, like, Palm Beach or something. Where was it? Akira?
Yeah.
And your phone was just like, ding, 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 and you were like, fuck, fuck, fuck. it's at like 150 people.
It blew my mind, without a doubt. There was one night, I remember Quirky Joe from the Quirky Cooking website is an affiliate, and the night that she announced it to her Facebook group, my phone just didn't stop beeping. It went off. It was something ridiculous, like $4,000 in like 3 hours or something. I just sat on the couch, both Nick and I cried, like just going, what is going on? And that's when I knew, that's when I knew I had something to offer, that this was going to be a bit different to what everyone else had seen before, that I actually had something. I was in business. Mm-hmm. And that was a really amazing moment. It really was. But then there's the, like, every single time now, because I'm about to head into my 3rd launch, every single time I think no one's going to buy it. Mm. Anyone who is going to buy it has bought it. That was great. And this time, you know, I think another defining moment would definitely be, it sounds so ridiculous, I'm about to say this out loud, but getting professional photos taken.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were tears for days beforehand, not knowing what to wear. I mean, I was beside myself. I look back now and think I was crazy. And then I saw the photos and the craziness just went to a whole new level. Because I went, oh, shit, I'm not 25 anymore, number one.
That's always bad, isn't it?
Wow.
Because you look in the mirror and you still see a perky 21-year-old and then you see yourself in photos and it's like, oh, my God, where did those last nearly 20 years go?
Yeah. I was
and
like...
when did my face start looking like my nana's asshole?
It's so true. It is so devastating when you realize you're getting older.
Yeah.
I just love getting older. I love it. I love how much more interesting I am now as compared to, you know, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, probably even a year ago. Anyway, but the whole, like, a lot of wrinkles and just not being quite as fresh as I was confronting. Mm-hmm. It really was confronting. And then I thought the photos were all wrong because that's not capturing me. You know, everyone's going to know that's fake. And, like, you know, why I never look like that. It just,
but that's how you look to us. You always look so glamorous to the rest of us.
F off. I do not. But then I realized that that is actually me. It's just kind of a prettied up version of me. And yes, that kitchen was far cleaner than it's ever been in its whole life. And I probably should have left a bit more mess out. But you know what? This is the thing I'm learning about being in freaking business is that it's just like life. No one's got any idea. And it's okay to make mistakes. Like, it's okay for me to go, look, that was a good first try. And that's good for now. But next time I know what to tell a photographer I need. I had no idea how to brief someone about that stuff.
Yeah.
And I, because I'm not a particularly creative person, I can't say what it is I see in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just another lesson. And no one died.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have, you know, done some damage. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you know, get a freaking grip. But it also did prove to me something else, is that doing this stuff makes you really vulnerable.
Mm.
I feel like my website's going to go live and I feel like I am naked in front of everybody. Like, yep, this is me when I've actually made an effort. And if you think this sucks, then ouch.
Yeah. It kind of becomes personal, doesn't it? There's like a dangerous slippery slope kind of, or tightrope, where particularly when your business is like kind of based on you as a person, not a product, but you are kind of the product, then it's even harder not to become codependent on your business and, you know, see its failures and its successes as your failures and your successes, because essentially you are the brand. So there's not really much to differentiate between you and the business.
It's so tricky. And my advice on that is to get tough and to also know that if people don't resonate with you, that's okay. I have people all the time unsubscribing from my mailing list now that I'm finally sending out newsletters. People are just constantly unsubscribe. I'm like, that's cool. I might not like you either.
Yeah. Take some power back.
Yeah, well, I just feel like it. You can get caught up in that, trying to be everything for everyone, and really all you can do is be yourself. And, you know, people will be drawn to you or they won't, and it's absolutely no reflection on you as a person.
True.
But it does hurt.
Yeah, of course, of course. So I want to ask you two last questions. What you just talked about with actually charging people money, and your photos, would you say that those were the two kind of biggest stretches that you've had?
By far and away, pricing continues to be my biggest stretch. Putting a value that other people would feel happy to pay and what I deliver to them meets that value is really, really, really hard, because at the end of the day, this is something that I want a lot of people to buy, not because it's going to make me rich or something, but because I genuinely think that if it resonates with them, I want it to be at an affordable price. But then what I've realized is that unless you properly value something, then other people won't either.
Mm.
And I know for me, if I've paid up for something, I show up. You know, I also feel like it's not like I'm doing you a service by raising my prices.
But you kind of are. Like, this is the thing. I mean, within reason, of course, because, you know, if you'd gone from $29 to $999 and, you know, well, you know, maybe you need to sit down with a psychologist for a couple of hours. But if you continued to do it for free, you couldn't sustain that. Like, could you? You couldn't sustain it. It's too much work for no return. And so then your gift would get buried in burnout and you wouldn't be able to deliver it to all the hundreds of people whose lives you've already changed and the thousands and thousands of people whose lives you're about to change.
I feel like if it's earning enough money that I can then outsource the things that I'm not particularly good at anyway or that someone else can do, then I can be focused on the good stuff, the stuff that people sign up for my products for, then that's going to be adding more value. And so if I keep charging not enough, then I'm never going to have a business that is sustainable for me and my family.
Yeah, so, yeah. When I was in Nambucca and I was really depressed and I went to therapy and, you know, I was going through this whole healing and self-discovery journey and trying to find my purpose and, you know, all that kind of jazz and what was my one true calling and blah, 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 blah. And I, you know, I heard from a few people, you know what it was when you were a kid, you know what it was that you were supposed to do when you were a kid. What did you want to do when you were a kid? Right. So I went to my mum and I said, Mum, what did I do when, what did I do? Cause see, the thing is, I got two brothers. One is an artist and he came out of the womb with a paintbrush, you know, and he's incredible. And he's quite a well respected artist in Melbourne. And my other brother is a academic and he's done his PhD. When he was like two, he could say all the dinosaurs' names. He's like ridiculous. And then there was me and I was like,
don't have that look on your face.
I was like, well, I thought I was the artist, but I'm not the artist and I'm clearly not the academic. So who the fuck am I? And I used to always put it down to, well, I'm just the communicator, you know, I'm the communicator. And like now I know I am the communicator. That's, you know, it's the one theme throughout my life, whether I was working in photographics or whether I was working in radio or whether I was writing, you know, it's been the one thing. I've always been a communicator, but I was so looking for something else. It couldn't have been that because that's who I am. That's not like my purpose. It's just who I am. But now I realize, and I thought it would come down to that one thing, like, you know, like the one man, the one, but it hasn't been the one. It's been a series of different ones for the time where it was. And so I guess the question was or is, did you have something like that when you were a kid? You know, are you now who you thought you'd be when you were a kid?
Yeah, I can see now when I was in high school, I can remember thinking, oh, speech pathology, that's a good idea because that involves talking. And I seriously had no idea. I just was like, what's a job I could do where I could talk? Like, because that was all that I thought I could do. If you need someone to strike up a conversation in an uncomfortable silence, I'm your girl. I'm very good with small talk. And, you know, my mum was always like, you could talk underwater, Lisa. That's really was what I did. And I can remember going to see my year level coordinator, who was also our careers advisor. And I said I was thinking about doing teaching. I wanted to be a teacher. I still would like to be a teacher. She said, oh, no, Lisa, I wouldn't advise doing that. I think you're going to be doing something a lot more than being a teacher.
No offense. No offense to herself.
I was so confused by that because I really held teachers and still do hold teachers in very high regard. I mean, I've had teachers that have changed my life. I just was like, what? I didn't get it and it wasn't helpful. Because it was not specific. And at that time, you're like, no, just tell me what course I want to do because I need to go to uni and do something. She's like, do something general, you'll find your way. She was right in terms of finding my way because I think that there has always been that leadership element to me, that, and like you, I think the communicator, I think there's a lot of an element of girl next door to me, like I'm relatable. People don't feel threatened by me for some reason, even though I'm a total fucking bitch.
I can vouch for that. You are an asshole of a person.
Yes, I am nasty. But I think that it does all make sense that I should be doing this. And, you know, once when I was 21, my best friend gave me a trip to a psychic for my birthday. And it was the first time I'd ever been. I was totally suspect on it all. She said, oh, you know, you're going to be doing your honours. And I just got the letter that I was able to apply for it, so that I had grades good enough to go on and do my honours. And I was like, damn it, how did she know that? And she said, you've got a message. You've got a message. You are, like, my numbers were that I've come here, I've come to this lifetime with something to say, with a message. But she said, you don't actually know what that is yet.
How frustrating.
So I thought, well, great. It's got nothing to do with humanitarian intervention, which was what I did my honours thesis on. Well, that's just freaking great.
Give me my $75 back, bitch.
Exactly. I didn't think much of it until this started happening. And I was like, wow, maybe this is the message. And it's all working because I found what it is that I needed to say. And it's all working because I have done a lot of work on myself. You know, it hasn't happened overnight. You know, there's been a lot of years of Facebooking and learning and reading and connecting with people, and it's all just led to this point. And I hope that this isn't the end point. You know, I really hope this is the start of something instead of, you know, my challenge for myself is to make this into a business that works for our family instead of just feeling overwhelmed a lot of the time.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper, and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
That my biggest challenge in all of this, by far, is to try and keep some sort of a balance between the competing demands of motherhood and businesshood. And I think for me, it's all happened very organically and without much of a plan at all. So I feel like a lot of the time I'm just knee deep in shit and kind of happy little pig in the shit. But it's so, so, so hard to work out what I need to give to the business to be able to get stuff done and be a good mum. Like, it takes so much of my energy to be a mother. It feels like, which one am I doing worse today? Because I often don't feel like I'm doing either particularly well. And in saying that, you know, by far and away the person who misses out most is my husband, and that's not cool. We're both at the stage now where we're having to go, right, let's draw a line in the sand over what has been created here. Your job's gone to the next level. I've suddenly got one. You know, we need to be able to find a good status quo, something where both of our cups are being filled and we feel the love, and it's not the thing that falls off, because I need him so much. It matters. And so that would be my takeaway, is that no one really has the balance right at every stage of a business, at every stage of parenting, at every stage of life. Things change all the time, and it constantly requires recalibration, I think, of what are we trying to balance, and what does balance look and feel like. It often goes off, and that's okay.
I think sometimes it's more important to know how you want to feel than what you want to have, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, Carly, that's gold.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch.
What has been your biggest failure?
My biggest failure? So many things. So many things that I'm not very good at. Putting wedding rings in proper places, for example. It's funny that you ask this question because I always try and look at the lessons that I can learn from things instead of just seeing them as failure. But I would say, like, you know, the first thing that kind of came to the top of my head was launching the second round of Small Steps over Christmas and New Year. That was a bit of a bomb. It still did very well, but that's something I wouldn't do again. Other than that, I feel like this past 6 months or whatever that I've been in business, my 2.5-year-old daughter said, "Mummy, can you, you know, do whatever when you finished your work?" And I was holding my phone, like, you know, maybe I was just checking Facebook or something, and that just really hit me that she sees me with this phone in my hand. And is, because I've obviously said to her, "Mummy's just doing some work and then I'll be able to help you." And I feel like, you know, it's that I actually am choosing to not put my kids in full-time daycare because I want to hang out with them and I want to be their mum most of the time. But I need to work harder at maybe protecting them a bit more from it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whether it's good for her to see.
I know, it's a hard thing, isn't it? Because in some respects it's like, you know, I want Mabel to, like, I need to model that I come first in order for her to know that she comes first. And I think that's really important. But then you also don't want to get to the point where she thinks my phone comes first or my computer comes first, you know, because that's not what it's about.
No. And, you know, there have been times when I've just needed to send off a quick email. I try to work mostly when they're sleeping, and on the days she does a family daycare 2 days a week. But, you know, our kids are our best mirrors. You know, she told me that. I heard that at that point for a reason. Mm. It was a reminder. And I take notice of it. You know, I could spend all day working. I love it. But I don't.
Yeah,
but I'm drawn to it. So yeah. I've got to find ways to, you know, not be a non-present mother.
Yeah. Would you say that's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear is that, I mean, there are so many fears when you're a mum, isn't there? Mm. Like, if I sort of had a business or my, you know, working hat on, my biggest fear is that this has all just been a fluke and it's all just going to end at this next launch, that's it. And that's my biggest fear is that I'm kind of, maybe I've just made up that this is really cool. Maybe I've just invested all this money in this new fancy website and, you know, the new Small Steps is so much better than the last one, and maybe I've just done all that and no one's going to buy it. And then that'll be it. And, you know, back to sticking boobs together at events. But, you know, like,
or selling thermies to the cult.
That's exactly right.
Recruiting, like, new members.
So, but my biggest fear as a mum is just that, you know, I'm not giving them what they need. I'm not a crafty mum. I often think that, like, today I was at Big W and I bought some, like, sparkly shit and some scissors and stuff, some glue, because I'm like, I really got to focus on that. I really got to do more with them in that respect. There's always more we could be doing, but, yeah, I'm like, they're going to hate me because they're not going to be able to cut properly when they go to.
Hey, I have to say, I think the most important thing you can do is teach your children how to use a knife and fork, because my mum didn't do that. And when I went on grade 4 camp, I was so embarrassed because I couldn't butter my own bread.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you use your finger to butter your bread?
My mum did it for me. My mum did everything for me. So I got to camp and someone was like, "Oh, here, make a sandwich." And I was like, you know, I got the bread and I got the butter and I got the knife and I went to wipe the, you know, bread on the butter on the bread, and the bread just tore apart. And I was just like, I don't know how to do this. And then one of the cool girls at school was like, "Here, I'll help you." And I was just like devastated. So hence doing baby-led weaning with Mabel, because it's like, dude, you are going to be using a knife and a fork from the minute you are out of the womb.
Yeah, wow. Isn't it really crazy, the stuff that we take from our childhood and then put off to our kids?
And blame our mums. Like, you know, I've blamed my mum for that for years and years and years until I probably reached my 30s and then I let it go. But, okay, one last question. Actually, I'll ask two. I think it's fair to say all of us have an evil bitch that lives inside our heads. What does your evil bitch say consistently to you?
You're a fraud. You don't know shit. She says that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Lisa, seriously, you are not a naturopath. You are not, you don't have a degree in this stuff. Who are you to be doing this? That's pretty much what's going on. Yeah. I have very weird negative voice about the way I look, especially my skin being really, really pale has just haunted me my whole life. Thank you, solarium phase. But that's like really real. Like, when am I going to get the hell over that? You know, when am I going to accept my skin? It's a really weird thing. But yeah, it would be mostly, especially with all this business stuff, it's just like someone's going to find you out. So that's why I'm always consistently telling people that I'm not an expert.
Yeah. 'Cause you do that a lot.
I do, because I'm not. And I just really want people to not look at me or look at anyone, actually, for that matter, as though they're what the gospel according to everything.
Yeah.
Because everyone is just coming from their own place of knowledge and what they know. And, you know, and it comes from a really good place wanting to share that.
Yeah.
But you have to just, you know, see everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Part of the reason that I started this podcast and I spoke about it in the first episode was because, you know, I think putting people on a pedestal is really dangerous because you're creating a distance between you and them, and that distance means that you're below that person. And I don't think that's a very healthy place to be, which is kind of why I wanted to start this podcast and do this section, because I think it's really important to know that, you know, a lot of people who are in the expert field have their guru guard up all the time. And I want people to pull their guru guard down for a minute and just say, hey, you know what? Like, yes, I'm scared sometimes. And yes, I've failed. And yes, I make mistakes. And you know what I mean? And
it's so valuable because I think, When I first started my Facebook page, it was Lisa Corduff Health Coach, because I thought, you know, that I was going to be a health coach or something. The expectation that I put on myself for that was unrealistic. When I just became Lisa Corduff in the kitchen, it was exactly what I was. And now my new branding is Lisa Corduff Keeping Food Real. And I resonated with this podcast series because of that, because I do think, you know, I choose every opportunity to show people and to tell people that I'm just a normal person with exactly the same struggles. And most people are. It's just that they've taken on that, as you just described, that guru status.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so in this whole big journey, what would you say has been your biggest lesson?
Sounds so cliche, but to just have a go. That stepping outside your comfort zone or taking a leap into the unknown will give you something. And that might be a lesson that helps you with the thing that really matters. Because I had lots of business ideas. I had lots and lots of projects that I invested time into thinking about that didn't take off. And it all ended up in this one spot that has. I just think without taking that first step, without really putting myself on the line, without doing the work, nothing would have happened. And so I would always just say, whatever it is that's calling you to do, just do something. Like, just start writing. Just start, you know, if you want to make music, start writing a song. Start writing a blog, start writing your resume if you want to get out of where you currently are. Just actually start.
Yeah.
Take a step and then take another one And then if that proves to be down the wrong path, just move sideways and take another one.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
The most uncomfortable part. Well, people can find me over at lisacorduff.com. I just had a very, very swish new website made and I am totally in love with it. And it's way better than I am, but I'm owning it. I'm owning it. And there you'll find things like So Awesome, a Co-ops Australia segment where people can go there and find a co-op near them if they want to do group buying.
So cool.
I hope that's just going to grow and grow and grow. That's free. Then there's some recipes and my blogs and, you know, musings on life. And then there's the small steps information. So I run it, like, at this stage I think it's going to be about 3 times a year. And it's the 8-week online program. And you can also choose to become a small stepper, like for life. There's all information about what being a small step member means. But the 8-week online program takes you through breakfast, lunches, dinners, snacks and desserts. It gives a lot of the whys behind why we should actually eat real food. It is basically like real food 101, and the most amazing, inspiring people share their expertise so yeah. that we know shit about like why hormones matter and how food can F them up. How a gluten intolerance might present in your body, and it's not necessarily a bloated belly, and quick, easy meals for families, and how to actually enjoy a family mealtime. Like, there's so much in there. It is just ridiculous.
And you've got some pretty big names in there. Do you want to list off some of your special guests?
Well, special guests include people like the amazing Jude Blerot, who is pretty much the queen of whole foods in Australia, Cindy O'Meara, who's just been around forever talking about this stuff, cool people like Lola Berry and Veggie Head Adele, the amazing Joe from Quirky Cooking, and Bianca from Whole Foods Simply, two of my favourite go-to websites for whole food meal ideas, Alex Stewart and Brenda Yanchek, gorgeous Kristen from the Mamacino website. I mean, there is just so many. Charlotte Carr, she was on Home and Away. Yep, she's in my program, totally. and I hope that that group of people is just going to grow and grow and grow. And I can keep bringing expertise and little nuggets of gold to people who just want basic information about how to eat better. Like, the program is for people who are probably a little bit overwhelmed and need somewhere to start. They need some guidance. They need support. They need a friend kind of on the journey. And it really does, if you really sort of dig in and watch the stuff, it just changes your mindset around food. It makes you look at food and think, is this real? And you can go from there.
Yeah, I guess because when you know better, you do better, right? That's kind of the philosophy.
But then it also comes with a big smackdown of reality that you're not going to be able to change everything overnight. And, yes, I will show you what's in my pantry, but no, you are not going to go out and buy all these things and suddenly know all the recipes to be able to make with them. And, you know, you're going to ditch every single packet in your pantry. For most people, it doesn't happen like that. But it is a lot. By the end of the 8 weeks, people are definitely changed. Their mindset has changed. They're looking more critically at the food they eat and they're seeking alternatives and they are creating new practices in their family. So it's freaking amazing.
And when's the next intake start?
May 4. So we're about to head into launch. Oh my gosh. And there's like this really amazing video that I got someone to do. It's Samantha Fletcher. She is so good. If anyone needs a promo film for their stuff, she's just the bomb. And yeah, it's about to all get very crazy. The rest of this month, crazy town.
Sweet. Well, I will let you get back to your beer and maybe do a little bit of work.
The beer is finished. That was like the perfect timing.
That was pretty good. Let me have a look at mine. Hang on. Oh, lagging behind.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.